Carefully, and I are bringing you The Divided Kingdom, the weekly cutting-edge Christian news program. In the Halloween twilight, it looks like more dead bodies are turning up. No, not from the appetites of reincarnated druids and Celts of yore. Don Salazar's report at InfoWars, Wednesday, October 18th, chronicles the obituary of Kimberly Schomel. Miss Schomel died suddenly on October 9th, 5 days after posting on Facebook that she, a Las Vegas Hotel Mandalay shooting survivor, was A, chased by more than one shooter, B, planned to organize survivors to really investigate the truth of what happened. It looks as though Kimberly Schomel joined the ranks of Seth Rich, Victor Thane, and sometime back, Gary Webb. The sinister NWO must cover its tracks, now more hastily than ever, just the way the retreating SS men tried to erase the evidence of mass dead bodies in the camps. We give thanks to Almighty God and our personal Savior, Jesus Christ, for the amazing news that broke on Sean Hannity Tuesday evening, October 17th. Yes, Attorney General Jeff Sessions' public announcement is that a criminal investigation is beginning into the Clintons' activities. Undoubtedly, this will involve James Comey and Robert Mueller and their stooge men for the Clinton Foundation, as well as uncover more about Rod Rosenstein's earlier, quote, dossier. Those of us who are Christian Bible believers, the ones perhaps Madame Clinton has called the bitter clingers, know that evil cannot hide forever. God has promised to bring it to light. The wheels of his justice grind slowly, but they do always ultimately triumph.
Yes, and it doesn't matter that Hillary said something about Julian Assange, that WikiLeaks was an operation with the Russians. No, these ridiculous statements aren't going to hold up forever. And as news analysts, you and I, Lou, have always resisted bringing out prurient, salacious material that could not be easily corroborated. And, you know, maybe these would just be sort of unconfirmed rumors. And for that reason, we never spoke fully on air about the strong allegation presented on the radio program True News a year or two ago. And the guest being interviewed made this allegation that former First Lady Michelle Obama had transitioned from being a football player named Michael Robinson. The late comedian Joan Rivers had made a joke that alluded to perhaps this very allegation that homosexuality had already come to the White House when a reporter asked how long till such a precedent would come to the American White House. Rivers died unusually from a plastic surgery that is not considered dangerous. And I believe, Lou, that it was in the Bob Livingston newsletter, a report that had an oddly glib quote, sort of almost bragging remarks afterward by medical personnel who were part of this whole scene of Rivers' surgery. And we think how the New World Order likes to usually gloat. And, you know, they always announce what they're going to do. And we have to interject here, too, that we'll soon be seeing some breaking news. Of course, only Alex Jones had it on Wednesday, that there has been another shooting in Maryland, I believe, at a work site. But, of course, the mainstream media wasn't really saying anything about this yet. If it's another radical Islam person, they're going to have to start covering it up. Now, why are we bringing this other matter up now about Michelle Obama? Well, we're doggone angry. Any protocol or duty as loyal Americans to, quote, protect the Obama White House years and legacy, I believe has just been erased by the following unbelievable true news that we will get to in just a minute. Yes, perhaps President Donald Trump was less than his admirable best in the Puerto Rican situation. Were blacks whose homes were destroyed and who had no water or power unfairly singled out for a lecture that they should help themselves? Or was this one more case in which Democrats exaggerated and demonized Trump out of all proportion? And listeners, we have to realize none of us is without some sin or moments of prejudice, and God forgives us if our hearts are right. The only thing would be if, in this case, Donald Trump had joined the eugenicists, if he had joined the global mindset of killing off the black people, the Margaret Sanger view, then we really would have something to say. And if that does happen, we certainly are going to oppose that with everything that's in our heart and soul. But we don't know. We get varying reports. And just like in Baltimore, we never got the truth completely after the Freddie Gray incident, what all was going on there. But we never trust the columnist Gene Lyons. He's very, very, very anti-Trump. And on October 6th, he had written some of these words. The president only got engaged, and this again is Gene Lyons claiming this, after the mayor of San Juan, Carmen Yulin Cruz, made an impassioned plea on behalf of her devastated island. Reacting to a comment by acting Homeland Security Secretary Elaine Duke that her agency's efforts were, quote, a good news story, Mayor Cruz, who had been wading through chest-deep water to reach stranded flood victims, got emotional. This is not a good news story, she told a CNN reporter. This is a people are dying story. It's a life or death story. Indeed, the scope of the destruction in Puerto Rico was so vast as to beggar imagination. There was no electrical power or clean water anywhere on the island. Hospitals had been shut down. Fuel for generators was in short supply. Ports and airports had been rendered inoperable, roads blockaded, and telephone networks destroyed. Quote, the level of devastation and the impact on the first responders we closely work with was so great that those people were having to take care of their families and homes to an extent we don't normally see, an anonymous FEMA official told the Washington Post. Now, we have to interject there. Everything's always a little suspicious when we have an anonymous FEMA individual, but it may have been this bad. This may be a truthful report. And Lyons goes on to say, the Puerto Rican government's inability even to communicate with its own emergency workers was critical. The storm had essentially reduced the island's 3.5 million citizens to a state of nature. American citizens, let's recall everyone. I am asking the President of the United States to make sure somebody is in charge that is up to the task of saving lives, San Juan's mayor said in a news conference a week after Hurricane Maria made landfall. I am done being polite. I am done being politically correct. I am mad as hell. We are dying here. If we don't get the food and the water into the people's hands, we are going to see something close to a genocide. Now, we never know fully at our level either whether certain things that Trump tried to put into motion were sabotaged, held back. We wouldn't put it past any of these rabid leftists to have done something like that, too. So ultimately, Lyons does say the mayor's plea worked. The White House appointed Army Lieutenant General Jeffrey S. Buchanan to command relief efforts, who told reporters that federal manpower on the island was insufficient to the crisis. Not too surprising, given how badly FEMA has been overstretched lately, and began to unravel the logistical nightmare Mayor Cruz complained of. And, of course, in Lyons' viewpoint, there is a hero, Carmen Yulin Cruz. We'll continue to hear more of that aftermath, I think. But now, I said we were going to get to this other thing, and we're not excusing Donald Trump if he was showing some prejudice toward the black people. But it does seem to be pretty much out of character. He has been very good to other black people, and we know that there is always this demonization and then this big kind of a hullabaloo about whether he ever got in touch with the families of the veterans who were killed. And Alex Jones' program made the comment that Well, really, I'm not sure whether this was Roger Stone, perhaps, but the comment was made, did General Kelly get all the names to Trump? And I believe it was Roger who stolidly stood up for Trump and said that any name that reached him, there would have been a phone call or a letter to those bereaved parents. But now we're coming to look at something else. Well, this other story hits us with a much, much more polished, thinner, sordid White House legacy. Maybe Trump, for a moment, failed to be who he should be. But this thing is really getting me angry. The headline at Long Beach Library read, Michelle Obama hosts History Month at the library. Now, doesn't that sound good? You know, perhaps you would think that it will be the history of the African Americans and their struggle coming over on the slave ship. There was an author who recently spoke, Lou and I didn't get to hear him, at the Eastern Maryland Library, and he had done a lot of research. I think that would have been very fascinating to hear that, how the African Americans suffered coming over on the slave ships. There could have been a lot of other stuff about great people like Booker T. Washington or Frederick Douglass. Oh, that's not what we got. Michelle Obama hosting History Month. We got Drag Queen Story Hour features Zuchi Muchi, a transsexual. Zuchi Muchi was, quote, dressed as a demon. This is your killer clown from outer space, Zuchi said on Facebook in a recounting that was posted there by the library themselves. Quote, it was one of the best experiences. Now, that was Zuchi's feelings about this. You know, maybe taking a page out of mass murderer John Wayne Gacy's playbook to dress like a clown, a killer clown, Zuchi Muchi had sort of cashed in on this idea, let's be a serial killer. And Zuchi Muchi had caked on some face makeup, quote, to look demonic. Five horns coming out of the head. Yes, Lou, we don't have any reason to not bring out True News' bombshell about Michael Obama if his or her sponsored legacy is, quote, a transsexual dressed as a demon and killer clown is reading to innocent children in Long Beach Library. Then we leave that and we get to the other part that I hate so much about October, and I still remember I'm saying goodbye to a number of stores that I liked. I said goodbye to Macy's. Maybe it was 3 years ago, and Lou didn't fully understand the spiritual war that was going on right around me. I was trying to educate the clerk why I would never be back. It's because we have the Pink Breast Awareness Month. We've got that pink ribbon, and we've got everybody donating to the Susan G. Komen Foundation. It was admitted by them that some of their money went to Planned Parenthood to kill the babies. Isn't this appropriate? Halloween, the child sacrifice, it's still going on in America. And we don't know whether there might be some real legitimate good breast cancer research, but it looks as though it's all one thing. And when you see the Ford Warriors, you know there we have the roots of the eugenicists. We have the billionaires of the world. Really, I guess it would be the East Coast WASPs who did not want the black people. They did not want the mentally feeble. They did not want these people. And Lou talked on his program before from Edwin Black's book, The War on the Weak, and how a lot of the Southerners were sterilized. Some of the people never even knew that they would not have children. And why? Isn't this atrocious? So here we are. We have this thing going on wherever we look. We turn on Hallmark. There it is, the Ford Warriors. You know, these prostitutes who put themselves out. Hollywood the way they're doing everything now, the demonic elements are really showing up. And if you appreciate the exposés that we're bringing out on this program, we do need your help. And we thank one or two of you who sent us a little contribution lately. We do need more help to stay on the air. And if you would like to help us or send us letters of encouragement, you can write to Lou, capital L-O-U, Caverly, capital C-A-V-E-R-L-Y, at P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, capital B-E-T-H-L-E-H-E-M, Maryland, 21609. And again, that P.O. Box is 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And we know that some of you do appreciate that we don't have any commercials. You are getting a lot more information. It's not strung out over 3 hours with constantly intolerable interruptions of products, services, admonitions for this, for that. You can think. You can actually take some of this into your brain and think about it. And we do ask you as Christian watchmen to pray first, thanking the Lord that perhaps there are going to be some people who've done incredible evil. We remember those reports from WikiLeaks of John Podesta and his group of Clintonian associates and the spirit cooking. God Almighty, we cannot tolerate this in America. We cannot tolerate this. Lou and I have probably helped over 200 children learn to read in our lifetime. It's getting to the point where I'll mention someone's name and we try to think, well, what did that person look like? Because not everybody stuck with us for years. We might have helped someone in a short-term way for 2 weeks. But, you know, we loved the children. We wanted their well-being. And we formed some lifelong friendships with apparently one woman especially cared so much about her little boy. And he was in a private school, and a Christian school, and I volunteered to go there as a reading specialist. And the principal said, please look at Mrs. So-and-so's child. We're so worried about him. Well, I continued to tutor him all the way up to high school. And when Lou and I moved out to the eastern shore of Maryland, Lou would make trips back almost weekly to help that boy in high school. But then when he was in college, his mother paid for telephone calls so Lou could help him. And today, he's a guidance counselor, and he has written us beautiful letters thanking us for the part we played in his life. He was an intelligent little child, but he had a severe reading disability. When you work to help children, there's nothing that makes you feel any better. And I've always been somewhat persecuted as I tried to do this. In my work life in Prince George's County, Lou knew, he saw me. I was in job wars with evil principals. And I have to laugh at the anti-Jew sentiment that comes into the shortwave world. The only one who was pretty normal with me and kind was a Jew. That is really true. There were some others that were just really horrible. They did not care about the children. And we're aware that the New World Order does have some Ashkenazi people in it. And these people are what John Kottmeyer, the head of our network, Liberty Works Radio Network, said, the atheistic Jews. Yes, there, some of them are in Hollywood. They're running things. There's Harvey Weinstein. My goodness, he isn't a very good role model. But we never, never demonize people as a group. There are wonderful Old Testament believing Jewish people. We have friends like that. We know that they're real, and they would never want to take part in these lies that are promoted about world domination and all this stuff and the Holocaust denial. No, that we just can't stomach the lies. We are fighting for our lives, as Eisenhower said, and now we do know it. So, you know, you have to divorce yourself from the evil. Are you sending your grandchildren out to trick and treat? I hope not. Lou used to sit at the bottom of our steps with a great big plastic jack-o'-lantern. We could put a light in it, plug it in, and the little children would come and we'd hand out the candy. It was hard to give up that idea, wasn't it, Lou?
Yes, because we enjoyed the children. We loved children. And we wanted to see them made happy. So in that sense, it was hard to give it up.
But when we began to hear Dr. Stan Monteith and others and the expose of what Halloween really was and that child sacrifice still goes on, how on earth could we as Christians ever continue that? No, we couldn't. So we have to just shut out our lights and ignore it. But now, this sacrifice that we're talking about, it's still going on. Lou, you have an article.
From the Eastern Star Democrat, dateline Friday, October 6, 2017. Headlined, 301 Devil's Playground will support Susan G. Komen, Maryland, this Saturday. Galena, Maryland. 301 Devil's Playground will support Susan G. Komen, Maryland at 7 p.m. Saturday, October 7th, which marks the opening night of its season. Two of the attractions are House of Hell and Barn of Torture, walkthrough haunts created with every detail designed for fright. Actors appear in the elaborate costumes and masks, along with advanced animatronics. There also is a zombie paintball ride where participants will ride in the back of an army truck through the cornfields shooting at live, quote-unquote, zombies. And it goes on to tell the price of the tickets, the way you can get the tickets, and so forth. And the address, it's in Galena, Maryland. And give you a website for more information.
You know, that's just about as out there as Zuchi Muchi. Saying she or he or it or she or whatever is a killer clown. 301 Devil's Playground. And think of that, the House of Hell, the Barn of Torture. It certainly is filled with a lot of people there in a picture. Of course, they're all wearing pink, and they have the pink ribbons. And they look so duped to me. They're just women, poor women. Actually, they look a little worse than that, because some of them are dressed in demonic things. There's a man holding some kind of a weapon, and he has what almost looks like a goat's head on with two horns. And then there's some other kind of a vampire with red hair hanging down. And there's a woman with another kind of a weapon. A long stick has, I'm not sure whether that's a woman or a man. Lou, is that a woman or a man with long blonde hair?
Possible to tell.
We can't tell. But anyway, you see where we're going. We're going into this terrible thing that is still killing the children. And what's the church doing? Well, Time Magazine, August 28th, 2017, had an interview with Jen Hatmaker. The Texas pastor, author, homemaker, and social media star talks about faith, family, and debates that are causing schisms among Christians. I want you to listen to this. What are you getting from your pastor? Are you getting something like this?
In your new book of Mess and Moxie, you call yourself, quote, low-grade Christian famous, unquote. What does that look like? Answer, it's maybe a D-minus level, enough to get recognized in airports, but not enough to really have any true advantages. The Christian world is pretty small, especially for women in leadership. As a woman of faith, do you think there's a way forward in the anti-abortion versus pro-abortion rights debate? It is one of my particular tribe of women, or it's one that my particular tribe of women is asking. Historically, the Christian community has taken what is a very fraught decision and reduced it down to a soundbite, right or wrong. But rather than simply just a pro-life stance, I'm seeing a much broader construct, which is pro-prenatal care, pro-affordable housing, pro-health care. Why do so many evangelical Christians vote for President Trump, who didn't seem to espouse traditional evangelical values? The election exposed a divide in the Christian community in terms of what we hold dear and what garners votes. We are now facing an incredible uphill battle to see if we can reclaim any shared territory. A lot of Christian leaders have been very excited by his actions so far. Are you? I am incredibly concerned. I am concerned for my friends of color, for my friends who are immigrants. I'm deeply concerned about the language and the tone that adversarial space is just being normalized. My son, who was adopted from Ethiopia, has peacefully and happily gone to school with his classmates now for almost 6 years. Shortly after the election, he started hearing his first racial slurs in school. Has your perspective changed now that you're the parent of children from Africa? Undoubtedly. Going into our adoption, I would have said racism mostly was in the rearview mirror. It has been a crash course in lingering racism and implicit bias and the awful realities of white privilege.
And you know, Lou, we must interject here that Hatmaker is cleverly equating what would be a legal adoption of her child with Trump's desire to protect us from the illegal aliens and the radical Islam. And even though the legal network in Hawaii and in Maryland is now trying to throttle it again, we must pray hard, because there is no greater influence that I believe of danger than this. And it was pointed out, I always thought the Kurds were very benign people, but on InfoWars yesterday, it was pointed out that they do sometimes go in league with ISIS, and they're not always going to be pro-Christian, definitely not. So you see, it always comes back to the bitter clingers. So, but let's hear this very politically correct minister more.
She goes on to say, I'm probably not even the same human being as I was when I first brought them home, that is, her adopted children. Do you think LGBTQ issues will eventually divide the church? I feel hopeful, to be honest. Had you asked this question even 10 years ago, I would have had a different answer. Now I see really smart people pulling chairs up to the table and thinking this through together. If we are following Christ literally, then nobody's humanity is up for grabs. Nobody. That is a non-negotiable. So I'm hopeful, and I hope to help lead that charge.
And now I think we're going to just segue into some of what the alternative lifestyle is. Methodists elect homosexual bishop. This was August 12, 2016, Way of Life. The West, and this came from Newsmax.com, July 16, 2016. The Western District of the Methodist Church has elected an openly gay bishop, despite the denomination's ban on same-sex relationships. The Reverend Karen Oliveto was elected late Friday night at a meeting in Scottsdale, Arizona, of the church's Western jurisdiction. Oliveto is pastor of Glide Memorial United Methodist Church in San Francisco. She is the first openly gay bishop in the 12.7 million member denomination. The United Methodist Church is deeply divided over LGBT rights. Church law says same-gender relationships are, quote, incompatible with Christian teaching. But several regional districts are openly defying the prohibition by appointing gay clergy and allowing same-sex marriages in churches. Some instances have led to trials under the church's legal system. And we have more on this change in our society, and we're going back again to look at the Army, Lou.
U.S. Army's transgender training addresses male pregnancies. The following is excerpted from Todd Starnes, Fox News, June 16, 2017. Quote, the Army has begun mandatory transgender sensitivity training for soldiers. The training covers everything from, quote, trans female, unquote, soldiers, to transgender shower etiquette, to dealing with a male soldier who becomes pregnant. Quote, that pregnancy scenario is beyond words. Chaplain Alliance for Religious Liberty Executive Director Ron Cruz told me, this is an example of how this social policy can be used simply to promote personal agendas at the expense of taxpayers, with no regard for being what the military is all about, unquote. The matter of male soldiers with child is tucked away inside the Army's policy on the military service of transgender soldiers training module, Tier 2, Commanders and Leaders. It was mandated during the Obama administration. Quote, The training module specifically outlines key roles and responsibilities of commanders, transgender soldiers, military medical providers, and administrative management organizations, Lieutenant Colonel Jennifer Johnson told USA Today. This training is mandatory for all uniformed members, as well as Department of the Army civilians. The briefing materials cover all sorts of scenarios, from shower stall etiquette to trans female, and that's in quotes, trans female soldiers deployed to anti-LGBT countries. Female soldiers must also come to terms with taking a shower alongside men who identify as women, even if the transgender soldier did not undergo sex reassignment surgery. Quote, soldiers must accept living in working conditions that are often austere, primitive, and characterized by little or no privacy, the module states. All soldiers will use billeting, bathroom, and shower facilities associated with their gender marker, unquote. The Army guidelines mandate facilities will not be designed, modified, or constructed to make transgender-only areas. Quote, accommodations cannot isolate or stigmatize the TG soldier, the guidelines state.
Now, we think that we heard an executive order by Donald Trump that the transgenders would not be in the armed services. So we're not exactly sure how this is all going to break down, but July 21st, Friday Church News notes for Way of Life said, last week, here was the headline, America's moral insanity continues apace. Last week, 23 Republicans joined all of the Democrats in the U.S. House of Representatives to defeat an amendment that would have ended Barack Obama's policy of funding gender reassignment surgery for soldiers. The amendment was offered by Representative Vicky Hartzler, Republican of Missouri, who said during debate on the bill, military members undergoing transition surgery are non-deployable for up to 267 days. Lou, that's almost a year. A year. What do you think about that?
I just think if they're going to take that much time off, why stay in the armed services? Why not just get out?
But you're thinking, the old think, that they were put there for our security, our national security and defense. They're not put there for that reason, are they?
No, they have a special agenda that they're in charge of. Besides, this gives them the money to get what they wanted all along, the free surgery. Well, a good part of it is free.
Similarly, the article says, regular hormone treatments renders individuals non-deployable into the future. It makes no sense to create soldiers who are unable to fight and win our nation's wars and unfair to non-transitioning individuals who must leave their families and deploy in their place. Oh, but why didn't we have this when Vietnam occurred? That would have really been wonderful, wouldn't it? That could have weakened us even more in that war. We could have had many more casualties. It could have been so much more effective to not win the war in Vietnam. So many of these things are either NWO planned or at least satanically planned. But the article says, House rejects attempt to ban transgender surgery for troops, AP, July 13, 2017. Republican Representative Duncan Hunter of California, a Marine veteran, said, figure out whether you're a man or a woman before you join. U.S. taxpayers shouldn't have to foot the bill. Gosh, where did he come from, Lou?
Feels like an old-style patriot to me, hearing his words. It just makes such good sense, but good sense is not always in vogue.
The article says this is a moral issue as well as a military readiness issue, and the fact that the Republicans can't pass something as common sense and widely supported as this is evidence that the nation is under God's curse for its wickedness. According to a Rasmussen poll, only 23% of Americans believe that opening the military to transgenders is right. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O, my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. Isaiah 3:12. Then we had, from Way of Life, July 14th, Southern Baptist military chaplain conducts transgender policy briefing. We brought this to you once before, but I think it's important as we're reviewing how we treat this issue.
The following is excerpted from a Southern Baptist military chaplain, Sonny Hernandez, BobWire.com, July 1st, 2017. The U.S. military is unequivocally constructing and implementing change. Same-sex marriages and policies on gender identity confusion is a recurrent trajectory for the Department of Defense that will certainly cause contemporary challenges to Christians in the armed forces. While homosexual advocates are lauding this as diversity, many Christians are loathing this as diabolical. Since same-sex matrimony and the DOD's policy on transgenderism are contrary to God's indissoluble design for marriage and creation. Recently, WorldNet Daily published my article about an Army soldier who filed a religious accommodation request so that he could avoid attending a, quote, transgender policy briefing, unquote. Despite this soldier's plea to avoid being subjected to a transgender briefing that he felt would violate his religious tenets, the request was denied by his commanding officer, Lieutenant LTC Kim Wilson, 304 MPBN commander. The most vexing news is not that this soldier was forced to attend an Army-mandated transgender briefing. Instead, the most troubling news is about the one who facilitated the training, who conducted the transgender policy briefing. It was not the commander, public affairs, or equal opportunity personnel. Sadly, it was an ecclesiastical-endorsed Southern Baptist military chaplain who conducted the training, who told the soldier that he did not believe the transgender policy brief would violate his sincerely held beliefs. Per the soldier, Captain Eric Barnett, Barrett, 304 MPBN, is a confirmed representative of the North American Mission Board, or NAMB, which is an ecclesiastical endorsing agency of military chaplains for the Southern Baptist Convention. Chaplain Barrett's transgender policy briefing was godless. There was no reference of Scripture, God, Jesus, repentance, or faith, which would be expected of an ecclesiastically endorsed evangelical who claims to be a Christian. For almost an hour, Chaplain Barrett pontificated about the Army's policy on transitioning from male to female or female to male and reiterated innumerable times how a soldier's gender is determined, while God was not included in this determination. Despite Chaplain Barrett's exposition on the U.S. Army's policy on gender confusion, there are two notable quotes that he made which would not be expected from someone who professes to affirm Holy Scripture, but homosexual sin. First, how many gender identities are there in the world today? There are 42 genders. Second, ladies and gentlemen, we live in a world where truth is defined by the individual. That's a reality. It's not something that's up for discussion. That's just the world we live in.
And when we look at England, we have June 9th from Way of Life, Church of England to consider special baptism service for transgenders. At its General Synod in July, the Church of England will consider a proposal for a new baptism service, quote, to celebrate transgender individuals who have transitioned genders. And the headline was, Church of England considers baptizing people into new gender. ChristianHeadlines.com, June 2nd, 2017. This church, so-called, already has transgender priests. One of these, Rachel Mann, said, trans people feel powerfully called to be recognized in their chosen name. An opportunity to be publicly introduced to God is therefore significant. David Cloud writes, we are not sure what God man is talking about, but it is not the Creator God who made man male and female. Scripture teaches that the Creator forms each individual in the womb according to a pre-existing plan. And being male or female is no accident of nature. True churches don't celebrate moral perversion. They preach the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ, where my sinners are converted from wickedness and given a new mind to love truth and righteousness. The transgender movement of the 21st century is the logical consequence of the feminist unisex movement of the 20th. And again, Psalm 139:16, and if this isn't the KJV, don't write us and complain. We're quoting David Cloud. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How Christians should respond to the transgender issue. And this again was July 21st of Friday Church News Notes.
The following is excerpted from Dr. Paul Saunders, Christian Medical Fellowship, CMF, Chief Executive. So, this is in quotes, so how should Christians respond to the phenomenon of transgender? First, we need to see it through the lens of creation. The Bible is unashamedly binary. Genesis 1:27 tells us that God created a man in his own image, male and female. This is perfectly consistent with what we see in nature. Male and female are different, genetically, hormonally, and physically. Researchers have identified 6,500 genes that are expressed differently in men and women. Next, we must appreciate that we live in a fallen world where our collective rejection of God, see Genesis 3, has affected the human race at all levels, physical, psychological, emotional, and spiritual. So we should expect to find conditions like intersex and transgender. People affected by these conditions are often deeply hurting, and we need to treat them with the love and respect we should show to any human being made in God's image. We are all tainted by the consequences of the fall, and we are all sinners in need of God's forgiveness. Third, we must not capitulate to transgender ideology. Loving people does not mean affirming their false beliefs, using their chosen names, admitting them to their chosen facilities, allowing them to compete as the opposite sex in sports events, and offering them hormones and gender reassignment surgery. That is not love. It's actually a form of abuse. You might get called a transphobic bigot or worse, but the Bible, science, and common sense are on your side. God created us male and female. It's really that simple. Fourth, we must grasp the gospel opportunity transgender presents. Jesus welcomed everyone, but in so doing, he did not endorse all their beliefs and behavior. Rather, he called them to repentance and faith, to a life of obedience enabled by the Spirit to be transformed by the renewing of their minds, Romans 12, 1 and 2. And he called them to find their identity not in their chosen gender or anything else, but in him.
But as time goes on, there's going to be more of a push against people who are believing in the Bible. And we know that the young are very, very impressionable. And Hugh Hefner passed away. We all remember of him, the purveyor of the Playboy fantasy. And it's interesting that Time magazine, October 16th, had this in the column. Many saw the Playboy fantasia as dated or worse, and business took a hit on the other side, partly due to a proliferation of raunchier options. Doesn't that tell you where we're going in this country with the sin and the judgment that Playboy became dated because it wasn't pornographic enough? But we saw another piece in a Sunday news supplement by Holly Madison, and she was a young woman who became a protege of Hugh Hefner. She married him eventually, but she is very bitter how he ruined her life. And when you hear the stories that she tells, the group sex, all of these things, think of the young, impressionable people. And that's what we think is happening, too, with many of the people who think they're transgender, these young children. We saw them in a camp, pictured a year or two ago. We talked about this, and they looked almost demonically possessed. What really is driving this thing again? Is it the New World Order because they do not want us to be fertile? They do not want the population to grow. It's mass depopulation. But, you know, as long as we Christians have voice, it'll be like the late Tom Petty song, I Won't Back Down. We can't back down. And we cannot put out that pink ribbon this October and support Susan G. Komen because, Lou, let's find out what's Planned Parenthood doing. They're doing some other things besides what we already knew about in these horrible videos.
Apparently, children as young as 4 are not too young to be told that gender and sex are different, and that their genitals don't indicate their gender, according to new Planned Parenthood guidelines for parents. This, by the way, was from Fox News. On a page of its website titled, How Do I Talk with My Preschooler About Their Body? The abortion provider says if a child inquires why boys and girls have different bodies, a parent should introduce the concept of transgender identity. While the most simple answer is that girls have vulvas and boys have penises, testicles, that is the answer isn't true for every boy and girl, the organization says. Boy, girl, man, and woman are words that describe gender identity. And some people with the gender identities boy or man have vulvas, and some with the gender identity girl or woman have penises, testicles. Your genitals don't make you a boy or a girl. Planned Parenthood thinks parents should point out to their child that genitals do not definitely establish gender, and that their children can make that decision based on your values and how you plan to talk with your kid about gender as they grow up. That was from Reuters. Parents should then point out to their child, the page continues, that genitals do not definitely establish gender, and that their children, quote, can make that decision based on your values and how you plan to talk with your kid about gender as they grow up, unquote. Critics, mainly from conservative ranks, say Planned Parenthood's encouragement of parents to discuss their gender identity with children who barely can string a sentence together and haven't yet learned the alphabet is preposterous. And here's a quote from Planned Parenthood's new guidelines on discussing the body with preschoolers. Well, they've already quoted that before in this article. Some people with the gender identities, boy, a man, et cetera, et cetera. So Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association, a Mississippi-based group that promotes conservative values, quote, gender is not fluid. Either you have a penis or you don't. What Planned Parenthood is promoting here is just stupidity masked as sensitivity. If you're an adult and trying to talk to a child about whether they're really a boy or a girl, you're at risk of harming them psychologically, unquote. Efforts to obtain a comment from Planned Parenthood were unsuccessful. Critics also say that Planned Parenthood's suggested talking points are misleading. Says New York Daily News columnist S.E. Cupp, quote, of all the things it is, absurd, irresponsible, pretentious, one thing it definitely is not, is scientific. If you do need help talking to your child about gender and gender identity, and there's no shame in that, please use real science as a guideline and not garbage propaganda, unquote. The truth is, sex is more complicated today, but the conversations you'll more likely need to have with your kid will center on technology, the dangers lurking on the internet, sexting, revenge porn, and not on anatomy, unquote.
And, of course, the biggest evil of all is comparable to what the Israelites did up there in the groves whenever they fed their babies to Moloch, the god of fire. The Silent Holocaust is an article by Dr. Bob Glaze of the Southwest Radio Church Ministry, August 2017, and you can get reprints of this publication if you call 1-800-652-1144. And again, that's 1-800-652-1144. You can get 25 copies for $5, for example. The Silent Holocaust, I'm going to read part of it. Hollywood is a corrupt world that seems to only want to please Satan himself. Many, if not most, of its members are, quote, pro-choice and support Planned Parenthood, at least with their mouths, if not their money. Not being knowledgeable, and again, this is Dr. Bob Glaze speaking, of the names and associations with movies or TV, I will list a few of the better-known actors: David Cross, Mark Ruffalo, Ed Harris, Jack Black, David Eisenberg, Kevin Bacon, Alec Baldwin, Stanley Tucci, William Macy, Reese Witherspoon, Lena Dunham, Josh Whedon, Elizabeth Banks, Martha Plimpton, Melissa Gilbert, Liam Neeson, and many more, and they're found at liveaction.org. Former President Barack Hussein Obama heavily supported Planned Parenthood, which is an international organization funded by our tax money. Obama signed a rule into existence that forbade tax money to be cut off for services for contraception, sexually transmitted infection, fertility, pregnancy care, and breast and cervical cancer screening from qualified health providers, regardless whether they performed abortions. On April 14, 2017, President Trump signed legislation cutting federal funding to Planned Parenthood and other groups that performed abortions, and that's www.nyt.com. According to www.lifenews.com, Planned Parenthood had been selling body parts of aborted babies for 15 years. This would take their case back into the President George Bush days. Evidently, selling babies' body parts was the main reason that Planned Parenthood pushed their agenda. Where did all that money go? Perhaps to those who cover it up, such as politicians. Planned Parenthood denied charges that they sold body parts, but an expose of secret videos proved otherwise. And now, if you have any young children there listening, you do want to take them somewhere else, because we're going to get into some of these videos, Lou.
In the first video, Dr. Deborah Nukatola of Planned Parenthood commented on baby crushing, quote, "We've been very good at getting heart, lung, liver, because they know that, so I'm not going to crush that part. I'm going to basically crush it below. I'm going to crush above, and I'm going to see if I can get it all intact," unquote. In the second video, Planned Parenthood's Dr. Mary Gatter joked, "I want a Lamborghini," as she negotiated the best price for baby parts. In the third video, Holly O'Donnell, a former STEM Express employee who worked inside a Planned Parenthood clinic, detailed firsthand the unspeakable atrocities and how she fainted in horror over handling baby legs. In the fourth video, Planned Parenthood's Dr. Savita Ginda stated, quote, "We don't want to do just a flat fee, that is per baby, of like $200. A per-item thing works a little better, just because we can see how much we can get out of it," unquote. She also laughed while looking at a plate of fetal kidneys that were, quote, "good to go," unquote. In the fifth video, Melissa Farrell of Planned Parenthood Gulf Coast in Houston boasted of Planned Parenthood's skill in obtaining intact fetal cadavers, that's in quotes, intact fetal cadavers, and how her, quote, "research," unquote, department, quote, "contributes so much to the bottom line of our organization here. You know, we're one of the largest affiliates. Our research department is the largest in the United States," unquote. In the sixth video, Holly O'Donnell described technicians taking fetal parts without patient consent. Quote, "There were times when they would just take what they wanted, and these mothers don't know, and there's no way they would know," unquote. In the seventh and perhaps most disturbing video, Holly O'Donnell described the harvesting or, quote-unquote, procurement of organs from a nearly intact late-term fetus aborted at Planned Parenthood Mara Monty's Alameda Clinic in San Jose, California. Quote, "You want to see something kind of cool?" O'Donnell says her survivor supervisor asked her. Quote, "And she just taps the heart and it starts beating. And I'm sitting here and I'm looking at this fetus and his heart is beating, and I don't know what to think," unquote. In the eighth video, STEM Express CEO Kate Dyer admits Planned Parenthood sells a lot of, and that's in quotes, a lot of fully intact aborted babies. The ninth video catches a Planned Parenthood medical director discussing how the abortion company sells fully intact aborted babies, including one who just fell out of the womb, just fell out of, in quotes. The tense video catches the nation's biggest abortion business selling specific body parts, including the heart, eyes, and quote-unquote gonads of unborn babies. This video also shows the shocking way in which Planned Parenthood officials admit that they are breaking federal law by selling aborted baby parts for profit. Unreleased videos. Unreleased videos from CMP show Deb Vandehei of Planned Parenthood caught on tape talking about how Planned Parenthood abortion business affiliates may, quote, want to increase revenue, that is from selling baby parts, but we can't stop them, unquote. Another video has a woman talking about the, quote, financial incentives, unquote, of selling aborted baby parts. An even greater shocker is the following description of the heartless and cruel murder of abortion. April 18, 2013, 4:01 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, Dr. Kermit Gosnell, charged with 7 counts of first-degree murder, killing babies reportedly born alive at his abortion office in West Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. On the last day of testimony before the prosecution rests in the murder trial of abortionist Kermit Gosnell, a former worker at Gosnell's clinic testified that she saw one late-term baby who survived an abortion swimming in a toilet and trying to get out. That's in quotes. Karima Cross, a medical assistant who worked at Gosnell's Women's Medical Society clinic for 4.5 years, testified in a Philadelphia court today, telling of the horrors of babies who survived abortions only to have their necks snipped with scissors. As prosecutor Joanne Pescatore, quote, did you ever see these babies move? Unquote. Said Cross, yes, once in a toilet. The baby was like swimming, she said, basically trying to get out. Adrian Moten, an employee at the clinic, then took the stand. That's Adrian, the lady's name. Then took the baby and snipped the back of its neck while the mother was still in the room. Cross told the jury that the Shaquana Abrams came, that was the lady's name, I guess, when Shaquana Abrams came into the room in July 2008, she was pregnant and she was big. Cross said, quote, that was the largest baby I ever saw, unquote. When the baby was born alive, Abrams was sleeping. Cross said Dr. Gosnell took the baby boy, which he described as 12 to 18 inches long, put him in a plastic container the size of a shoebox. The baby was still breathing, she said. He didn't cut the neck right there. The baby was too big for the plastic container with his arms and legs hanging out the sides. The doctor cut the baby, cut the back of the baby's neck, but didn't do suction. Normally, Dr. Gosnell would do suction to suck the brains out, she said. I called people over to come see if the baby, and we took pictures, she said. Baby boy allegedly killed after being born alive and then having his spinal cord cut at the abortion office of Dr. Kermit Gosnell. This was some CNSnews.com. The baby boy had curled himself into the fetal position. Well, we don't have time to continue with that, but I think you get the message.
These ghouls are here in America this October. What are you going to do? Are you going to get your pink ribbon? Are you going to go to these stores that advertise doing things? I hope not. We do hope that you will tune in and you will tell others about our program and that you will pray for America to repent so that God Almighty can bring a renewal and another great awakening here. Thank you for listening. Good night.